The Mishnah tells us that Lulav Nita Bamigdosh Kal Shiva Bambina Yamecha, that the mitzvah in the Torah is to shake the lulav only on the first day of Yontif, Lakachtam Lechem B'Yom HaRishon, that's all over the world. And in the Beis Hamikdash only, there was a mitzvah to shake the lulav all 7 days. That's based on the end of the pasuk, V'smachtma Lefnei Hashem Elokeich L'shiv HaSyomim. After the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, Adichem Emzaka made a takana. Adichem Emzaka was the chief rabbi, and the Gemara says that he and his bezin made 9 takanas. Quite a few of them were instituted after the Churban Abai in Zecher HaMikdash. He made a takana that she had lulav nital kol shiva all over the world, Zecher HaMikdash. We will forget that such a mitzvah existed, because man is not Beis HaMikdash. We won't remember that such a thing existed. So we have the mitzvah to shake a lulav all 7 days. The Gemara says that there are differences between the Netilas Lulav on the first day as opposed to the Netilas Lulav on the other days. That we only need Shalachem on the first day of Sukkot. On the other 6 days of Sukkot, that it's only Midrabbanan, you don't need Shalachem. That's how Tosfos interprets the Gemara. The Tosfos on the first daf in Perek Lulav Agozel, that because Lulav, the other 6 days, are only Midrabbanan, the whole mitzvah is only Midrabbanan, so they never required, they never instituted that you should need Shalachem. Tosfos clearly assumes that this man should be Samigdash Oyakayam, and they would shake the lulav kol shiva and the migdash, lulav nithal kol shiva and migdash minatera, that you did need shalachem. The Ramban and the Mohammed disagrees with Tosfos, and he's of the opinion that even in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, the lulav kol shiva was the rice in the Beis Hamikdash, you still don't need shalachem. These are two different mitzvahs. So lakachtem is only on the first day. Lakachtem shalachem is shalachem, that you need shalachem on the first day, that's only the first day. In the other days of Sukkot, it's really a different mitzvah, smachtem. Bameh, how do you fulfill the smachtem? By holding on to these dalad minim. But it's not really the mitzvah of lakachtem, so you don't really need shalachem. That's how the Ramban claims. You need hadar called shiva. Ramban says you need hadar because hadar is not just a condition in the being yetzir the mitzvah. Shalachem is a condition if the dalad minim are not shalachem, so you're not yetzir the mitzvah of lakachtem. But hadar is not a condition in the Kima Mitzvah. Hadar is a description of Lakachtam creates hadar. It's a description of the Chepzah. So Usmachtam of Nesham Alakechem, the way to fulfill the Mitzvah of Simcha is with these Dalad Minim. So the Dalad Minim, if they're not hadar, it's not the right min. It's not the correct min. That's how the Ramban explains it. You don't need Minatari, you don't need Shalachem Kol Shiva, but you do need hadar Kol Shiva. The Mishnah tells us that the Dalad Minim Shabalulav Amiyakvim Zezet. If you don't have one of the minim, so you have no kima mitzvah at all. This is based on the pasuk ulakachtem, that we have an additional level of interpretation ulakachtem, that it should be lakichatama. Lakichatama means that you need all the dalamin. The Gemara has another drasha on lakichatama, that chaser is possible. If someone, let's say, cut out a little bit of the esrog, so that cannot be used for the mitzvah. So the Gemara says that esrog achaser is only possible on the first day. The rest of the days of Sukkot, since it's bayas etonim midrabanan, so chaser would be kosher. So that's the question. If you don't require lekicha tama for the last 6 days of Sukkot, then maybe the dalad minim should not be miakim zezet, because both dinim would derive from the same drasha, lekachtem lekicha tama, and two levels of lekicha tama, that you need lekicha tama that the esrog should be shalem. You need lekicha tama that all the dalaminim am yakim zezes. If you say that, the Gemara said the feirish that chaser is kosher b'shar hayomim. So it should come out that if you don't have all the dalaminim, you shouldn't be yakim zezes the dalad yomim either, the shar hayomim either. So this is the Sefer Amichtam quotes his father had such an einfach. In Shulchan Aruch they quote that there was such an opinion and it's totally rejected. We don't pass like that. But some have suggested that if you only have a gimel minim, if you're missing one of the minim, maybe you should shake what you have. Believe bracha, that according to the Sefer Amichtam, you would have a partial kima mitzvah. The dal minim would not be miyakim zezeh on shar hayam. But that's not really the accepted opinion. Rambam writes in a few places, he writes a klal that whenever you have things that are miyakim zezeh, that's an indication that it's one mitzvah. So the Rambam doesn't count lulav, esrog, hadas, and arovas as four different mitzvahs. He counts it as one mitzvah. The Rambam counts shal yad, shal tefillin, shal yad, tefillin, shal rosh as two different mitzvahs. because the Mishnah says that they're not miyakim zezer. The Rambam has a different, he has on different mitzvahs. Whenever it's miyakim zezer, he takes that as a simon that it's one mitzvah. Whenever it's not miyakim zezer, he takes it as an indication that it's different mitzvahs. Is it necessary, the dalet minim on miyakim zezer, is it necessary to pick them all up of asachas? What if I pick up the zechazeh, I pick up the dalet minim? So the Gemara has a machlokes Rav Yehuda and Chachamim. Rav Yehuda's opinion is the lulav tzarich eged, that you have to tie together the hadasim and the arobis together with the lulav. So you're going to pick it up the zechazeh, so obviously you don't have any eged. So according to Rav Yehuda, there's nothing to discuss, at least as far as the lulav, the hadasim and the arobis are concerned. Even according to Rav Yehuda, that lulav tzarich eged agrees that you don't tie together the esrig with the lulav. So maybe it'll be a shayla even according to Rav Yehuda. Can you pick up the lulav with the hadasim and arobis now and then put it down and then pick up the esrog later? Can you say dalad minim amiyakim says that means that you require one atila mamish, or can you do an atila b'zeach hazeh? So it could be a shayla even according to Rav Yehuda. If you pick up the gimel minim that are tied together, the lulav and hadasim and arobis, and then you pick up the esrog later. So this lamaisa is a machlekes Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos says that this is for sure, that you have to have one atila. Tosfos and Menachos on that Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Mishnah Menachos. That the dal minim shebululav amiyakim zezeh, mishal yad mishal rosh, am not miyakim zezeh. Then the Mishnah lists off different things, the shiva kaneha menorah amiyakim zezeh, and different things, the Menachos, different mitzvahs, which mitzvahs are miyakim zezeh, which are not miyakim zezeh. A series of Mishnayos there. So Tosfos' opinion there, Menachos, is that even if you hold the lulav ein tzarich eged, the way we pass in the halacha, it's not necessary to tie together the hadash and the arabish and the lulav, but you have to have one atila, the vasachas. You have to pick everything up at the same time. If you pick up the zer hazer, that's not acceptable. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes the Feirush that you can pick up the dalamin and the zer hazer. It's not necessary to have one atila. What exactly is the definition of an atila? So the Gemara talks about how tall the lulav has to be and how tall the hadasim and arabis have to be. So the Gemara says the hadasim and arabis have to be gimel tzvachim tall. The two opinions in Amaroim, how to calculate the gimel tzvachim. So we go the chumra that each tefach has to be four etzbos. That's what it usually is. An etzba is the thickness of the thumb, going this way, sideways. That's how we usually assume. So the hadasim and arabis have to be yud beis hagudlan. That's the chumra sheet in Shulchan Aruch. Should be yud beis hagudlan law. And the lulav has to be four tzvachim. Why four tzvachim? You need the same size as the hadasim and arabis, the three tzvachim plus an extra tefach kedei l'nanei abo. And the pashtus in the Gemara is that these shiurim are shiurim deraisa. The Gemara says shiurim chatzitzin v'chitzin ahalach l'moshe misinai. We assume that these shiurim of the gimel tzvachim with the dalet tzvachim, these are deraisa. So you see, that's how the Achronim point out. You see that ninua halulav, to shake the lulav, that it should be a tefach taller, the lulav should protrude, a tefach above the hadasim and arabis, is a lechatzchila deraisa. The Gemara says that it's not miyakev. The Gemara says mida'ak behe nofek behe. When you pick up the dalet minim and you put it down, even if you didn't do any ninua at all. But it's a lechatzchila deraisa. Tosfos points out in the end of Maseches Nidan, Daf Samach Vav and Reish, you have a lot of times lechatzchilas that are deraisa in the area of a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah b'shelemusa is that it should be done in one way, and if you left something out, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah shelo b'shelemusa. The same thing, let's say, it's not exactly the same, but it's along the same lines. We passed in the lulav ein tzarich eged. Rav Yehuda's opinion is that if you didn't tie together the hadasim and the arabis with the lulav, so you're simply not yotzei the mitzvah. So we don't pass like that, but l'chatzchila, the Gemara says in the first parak in Sukkah, l'chatzchila, even the Rabbanon agree that lulav tzarich eged because it was a kelim yan veda. So b'di'evet, if you won't have the eged, you're yotzei. So that's also a lechatzchila deraisa. That's not exactly the same. That's a hider mitzvah, the Gemara says. If you didn't do an eged, you yotzei the mitzvah b'shleimus, it's just that you don't have the hider. But over here, if you didn't do the ninuim, that's a little more than a hider. It means that you're not yotzei mitzvah b'shleimus. There's two different things. One is a mitzvah b'shleimus, a mitzvah shelo b'shleimus. Then you have a mitzvah b'shleimus with a hider, a mitzvah b'shleimus without a hider. Two different madrigals. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos has a machlekes Reb Leizer and the Chachamim. Perik Ablazer de Mila. Ablazer ben Hurkinish. Ablazer Agadol. He's of the opinion that not only is Mila Bismana Deche Shabbos, even Machshire Mila are also Deche Shabbos. If you don't have a knife, so you're permitted, if the baby was born last Shabbos and the bris is scheduled for this Shabbos and you don't have a knife, so you're permitted to be Michal Shabbos to manufacture a knife. Or if the baby's in one location, knife is in another location, so Ablazer's opinion is that you're permitted and obligated to carry the knife in the street on Shabbos, even though it's a Malacha Deraisa, in order to be able to perform the mitzvah of Bris Mila. We don't accept Ablazer's opinion, we don't pass him like that. The Gemara says he was in his city, he was the Mardash, and that's, they followed his opinion, even years after he passed away, they followed his opinion. The Gemara says they were not punished, Adarabba, they were rewarded because they showed such a chavivus for the mitzvah of Mila. Mila is not as Decha Shabbos, and even the Machshira Mila is Decha Shabbos. So they did kiddin. Look, Rav Lezer's opinion is a legitimate opinion. By now, his opinion has been outvoted. So now, he's not the Mardasa anywhere. So we don't follow his opinion. But during his lifetime and after he passed away, in his community, they always followed his opinion. So the Gemara says, Rav Lezer's shita, the Machshira Mila, Decha Shabbos, is not only with respect to Bris Mila, it's with respect to other mitzvahs as well. So the Gemara gives an example. Let's say the first day, Sukkot. You need a lulav, an esrog, hadassim, and arovis, and they're all attached to the ground. You forgot to detach the dalet minim on Erev Shabbos. So Kain Shablazer, you're permitted and obligated to cut it off of the ground in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. We paskin not so. We paskin the machshire mila not decha Shabbos. The machshire dalet minim are certainly not decha Shabbos. According to Blazer's opinion, you're permitted to be Michal Shabbos to detach it from the ground. So the Rashash points out that that's an interesting Gemara, that one might have thought that Ninua is not Niyaka de the Evers, and maybe you can be Yotza by holding on to the Eshik while it's attached to the tree. I can hold on to the Lulav while it's attached to the tree. Who says that it has to be detached? That's a Chiddush that the Gemara assumes that that's a Machshirei Mitzvah. If you don't detach the Eshik and the Hadassim and the Arovis and the Lulav from the Mechuba Lakarka, so you're not Yotza de Mitzvah. So once you detach it, how high do you have to pick it up? It just has to be detached, but there's no minimum height, or is there a shear? Sometimes there is a din that you need a tefach. In Hagbah, Kinyan Hagbah, there's a machlekes Rashi and Taisus, whether you need gimel tefachim or tefach. So even Rashi agrees that the only reason why Rashi has a chiddush that you need Hagbah, gimel tefachim. Even Rashi only requires Hagbah, gimel tefachim when the object belongs to someone else and he's giving it to me b'matana or he's selling it to me. But if it's a dovish al hefker, even Rashi agrees, all you need is a Hagbah tefach. So it could be that Rashi shita is, and Taisus says Hagbah is always a tefach. There's never a shir or gimel tefach. Lover doesn't play a role over here. So it could be that this is a din in Kala Terakula, that Hagbah always requires a tefach. There is an opinion in some Rishonim when you make an Erev Tafshilin that you have to pick up a tefach. When you make an Erev Echatzeres, you have to pick up a tefach. We usually assume that if I buy a box of matzahs and I want to be mezakeh shutfus to all the other Shomer Shabbos who live in the building, so then you need a Hagbah, Kinyan Hagbah. So Kinyan Hagbah needs a tefach. But let's say everybody donated a matzah. We have 20 Shomer Shabbos in the building and every Shomer Shabbos gave a matzah, gave a roll, and we put everything in one box. So we assume you don't need any Hagbah. Hagbah tefach is only needed if one person owns all the matzahs or all the chalos and he wants to be makna shutfus to the others. But the Magen Mishnah quotes the opinion of the Gaonim that when you make an Erev Echatzeres, you always need a Hagbah Tefach. By definition, that's like Erev Tafshilin, there's an opinion that you have to pick it up at Tefach. We usually don't assume like that. You don't have to pick it up. You can leave the food on the table and say, this is my Erev Tafshilin. You don't have to pick it up. But it could be then Kolat Arkula, whenever you need a Hagbah, whenever there is a need for Hagbah, could be that the definition of Hagbah is that you have to pick it up at Tefach. It's a little unclear. The Chatzchila to perform the mitzvah b'shleimus, you should not only pick it up the tefach, you should do the nanuim as well. But the nanuim are not miyakev, just mida'ad behei nofak behei, need a hagbah. So the Rashash just proved in the Gemara, Masechet Shabbos and Perek Ablazer de Mila, that you cannot do the hagbah while the lulav and yesrig is still mechuba l'karka. It has to be detached. But it doesn't say clearly in the Gemara how high you have to pick it up. So that's the question. It could be that the shear is a tefach. There was a big debate in Europe. Machlek Zavisol Salanta was a Goyin HaGoyinim. He had a Chiddush, and others were not so convinced that he was right. He had a lot of Chiddushim in Halacha. So he had a Chiddush that if in Europe it was very common that one person could afford dalim minim and the other people in the community just didn't have. So not like now in America, every other person in the shul, more than 50% of the people in the shul have their own dalim minim. So one wealthy balabas would pay for a dalim minim, or the community would buy one set of dalim minim, they would give it to the rabbi, and then the rabbi would give him atanam and asmachta to all the balabatim. So the shaila is, let's say on the first 2 days of Sukkot that you need shalachem, this year the first day of Shabbos, so we don't shake a little, so we need shalachem on the second day. So normally the first 2 days of Sukkot you need shalachem, so if I give you the dalim minim and you have to pick it up, it's effort to be kind of a hagbah. So when you pick it up, you acquire ownership. But then you have to pick it up to the edge of the mitzvah. So Rabbi Shaul Salanter was of the opinion, first you have to pick it up at Tefach and Bikaina, then you have to put it down. Then you have to pick it up again, and the second Hagbah is the mitzvah. The first Hagbah, Tefach, was the kinyan. But you can't be yaitzeh with that, because at the time you began that Hagbah, Merag Bein Ofek Beg, you're yaitzeh with the Hagbah. But at the time you started that Hagbah, it didn't belong to you. They came up with this Einfall that no one did that. That wasn't the common practice at all. Everybody gives the person the matar manas lach and shakes the lulav and he gives it back. So Rabbi Shaul Salanter said, you're not yet. You have to put it down and then pick it up the second time. Then it's it. Then it's chidushim on the Gemara Zvachim and the Meroi Meshoda. That contains the shiurim that he said in Valojin. And it was the Rosh Hashiva in Valojin for the last 39 years that Valojin Yeshiva existed. So in his shiurim he explained, he doesn't say Rabbi Shaul Salanter said like that, and I disagree, he just shows from the Gemara that it's not so. But it doesn't say the theories like Dalad Minim one way or the other. He shows that Sushta from the Shulchan, putting the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan. What if I put the Lechem Aponim in the middle of the week, then when it comes Erev Shabbos, it happens to be sitting. The Lechem Aponim is sitting, when it comes Shabbos, it's sitting on the Shulchan, but I didn't put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that that's acceptable. And the Nitzit thinks that just like that's acceptable, he thinks the same would apply to the Dalamin. He said, Sushta is what the things are, but that's his suggestion. The Gemara says based on the Mishnah, that the Hadassim and Narabis have to be Gimel Tzvachim tall, and the Lulav has to be Gimel Tzvachim plus an added Tefach Kedela Naneya. So the Gemara says it's not just sufficient that the Lulav should be Dalet Tzvachim. It has to actually be a Tefach taller above the Hadassim and Narabis. A lot of times we have a short Lulav and very tall Hadassim and Narabis. Are they both the same height? So the Hadassim and Arabis and the Lulav, everything is the same height. So the Gemara says, it's no good. When you pick it up, you have to pick it up in such a way that the Lulav protrudes, the Tefach, the top of the Lulav is protruding, the Tefach above the Hadassim and Arabis. So if you have very tall Hadassim and Arabis, you have to snip it off on the bottom to make sure that it's shorter, so that the Tefach, the Lulav will protrude the Tefach above the Hadassim and Arabis. Then the Gemara has another opinion, and we're machma for that opinion in Shulchan Aruch. That's not even sufficient. It's not enough that the lulav protrudes. You have to have the shedra of the lulav should protrude a tefach above the Hadassim and Arabis. The shedra is the fat part that disappears when you get up to the backbone. When you get to the top, so there's no more of shedra. So you have to have more than a tefach of the lulav protruding above the Hadassim and Arabis. You have to have a tefach and a half, or sometimes two tefachim. You have to have a tefach of the shedra, of the fat part protruding above the Hadassim and Arabis. According to the Rambam, that you can pick up the dalmin and the zach and zeh, so it can't be miaket, but it's at least lachatchila. It's at least lachatchila. And the Sefer Pardes, they quote in the name of Rashi. So Pardes is written by the Talmidim of Rashi. They quote in the name of Rashi. It sounds like Rashi holds, like the Tesis, that you're not Yotze if you pick up a Zeh HaZeh. So Rashi is quoted as saying a very strange idea, that the Hadassim have to be higher up than the Arabis, and if the Hadassim are lower, usually the Arabis are very tall. Usually the Arabis are taller than the Hadassim. So we usually, when you tie together the Lulav, Hadassim, Arabis, the Arabis are all the way up high, and the Hadassim are not as tall. The Rashi is quoted as saying, maybe it's a misquotation, Rashi is quoted as saying that you're not Yotze b'di'evet. If the Arabis are standing taller than the Hadassim, I can say you're not Yotze b'di'evet if you can pick up the Zach HaZeh. So in the summer, Rashi holds like Tosfos, that if you pick up the Zach HaZeh, you're not Yotze. You have to pick up Kederach D'Losam. You have to pick up Dafke Erect. We learn out from Atzi Shittim Romnim, from the Mishkan, that whenever you have to use a natural item that grows from the ground, it has to be Kederach Kedilosam. Because the Karshi HaMishkan were not upside down, they were not sideways, they were Dafke the same way the tree grows from the ground. So too the Dalaminim Shabululu have to be held Kederach Kedilosam. So you have to, Rashi seems to hold, you have to hold it the Vasachas Kederach Kedilosam. You have to have that the Hadassim should be higher up than the Arov. It's a simon to remember. So the Rishonim and Achrenim quote the simon that the Hadassim are the, look like the size of an eye, and the Arov look like lips, and the eyes are above the lips. So you remember, the Hadassim have to be higher up than the Arov. How can you say you're not Yetzir B'Yevet? Where does that come from? What is that based on? So the Marsham writes in his Ha'oris on the Sefer Chaim Avrochel and Mishmer Rishon, there's a wonderful Sefer, and Hilchas Dalaminim has all the halachas alphabetically arranged. The Mechaber wrote the Sefer Mishmer Rishon. Mishmer Rishon, it was written 100 years ago. So the Mishmer Rishon is a chibur, a commentary on the Prima Godim on Yerideya. It's out of style. A lot of people don't look at the Prima Godim anymore, but years ago, the Prima Godim was a classic. So a lot of times the Prima Godim is very brief. You don't fully understand what he wants. You have to look in this Sefer. The Mishmer Shalom is a chibur on the Prima Godim. So the same Mechaber who wrote the Mishmer Shalom wrote his two svarim called Chaim Avrochel and Mishmer Shalom. One's on Hilchas Dalaminim, one's on Hilchas Avelus. He has everything alphabetically arranged. So in the Sefer Chaim Avrochel and Mishmer Shalom on the Dalaminim, he has a lot of Ha'oris that were added on by the Maharsham. He was a contemporary of the Marsham. So the Marsham points this out. And he says, what a strange thing. How can Rashi make such a statement that if the Arovas are higher up than the Hadassim, you're not Yetzir B'Yevet? For what good reason? So he says, Al Derech Hadrash, you can understand a little bit why that the Hadassim are supposed to represent Tzadikim. Based on the Pasuk in Zechariah. Zechariah Hanavi, he talks about the horse. He had a cholam, he had a dream, a vision. Zechariah is the most obscure nevuas. Rashi writes the opening pasuk in Zechariah, and from all the nevuim, Zechariah is the most obscure. So he has one of his nevuas. Without a tradition of the Torah Shabbat, you don't know the chalal what Zechariah is talking about. So one of the prophecies, he's riding with a horse through Hadassim. What is it supposed to represent? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the Hadassim represents Tzadikim. Okay. So the Hadassim represents Tzadikim. The Arovas, according to the Medrash, represented people who have neither Liman HaTorah nor Shmiras HaMitzvahs. The Gemara says that the Dalaminim, some of them have Tam without Reach, some of them have Reach without Tam, some of them have both Tam and Reach. The Esrik has both Tam and Reach. The Reach represents Torah, and the Tam represents Mitzvahs, and the Arovas have no Tam and no Reach. So that represents either the Rishoyim or the Shvacha Balabatim, who barely don't have too many mitzvahs and don't have too much Torah to them. So the Marsham says, maybe Al Derech Hadrashi can understand, if you're going to have the Arov is taller than the Hadassim, it means that the Rishoyim have Shlita over the Tzadikim, because the Arov is represent the Rishoyim maybe, according to that Medrash, and the Hadassim represent the Tzadikim. But still, he says, how can you make up the Din? Yesh Miyayim, is it based on the Midrashim? If you're not Yesh B'Yevet, he says, he doesn't know how to deal with that quotation in the name of Rashi, but he says, L'chatzchila, one should certainly be careful, L'chatzchila for sure, to see to it that the Hadassim should be higher up than the Arovas. So you have to have, the Lulav has to be a minimum of 4 tefachim tall, you have to have a tefach of the Shedra of the Lulav, not just the tefach of the Lulav. Shedra of the tefach of the Shedra of the Lulav protruding above the Hadassim, and then the Hadassim have to be slightly higher than the Arovas, and they should be tied up together. Even though we paskin that Lulav ain't a tzarcheged, it's not miyakid b'diyevet, but l'chatchila, the Gemara says, because of Zekei Levi Anveyo, you certainly should have an eged. The Taz on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and his commentary quotes from the Beis Yosef, who quotes from the Rikanti. Rikanti was one of the Bali Atosus, who was very much into Kabbalah. So he had a dream on Leil Sukkis that there was a guest in Shul who was benching Esrig on the first day, and when he benched Esrig, he held the Esrig in, he held the Lulav in one hand and the Esrig in the other hand, and he didn't hold the two together. He held them far apart from each other. So we usually don't do that. We usually hold them together. So this Rakanti had a dream that night that somebody was writing Yud Kei Vav. He wrote Yud Kei Vav and the hay all the way over there. Yud Kei Vav and the hay all the way there. Didn't know what that's supposed to represent. When he woke up in the morning, he understood, it's not right that the seller held that guest in shul, held the lulav with the hadasim and arovis in one hand over here, and the esrog in the other hand, he's supposed to hold the two together. So that's the proper, that's based on that. Rakanti, that's discussed in Shulchan Aruch, you should hold them together. Some people want to hold it together, so you hold it in one hand. Who says you have to hold it in two hands? So the Magen Avraham quotes an opinion from the Or Cheskaim, from one of the Rishonim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, that you're not Yotze even b'dieved if you don't hold the Esrog and the Lulav in two different hands. You have to hold Dafke, the Gemara says you have to hold, because the Lulav has three quarters of the Mitzvah, and the Esrog is only one quarter, there's Dalam Minimam, Yachim Zezeh. So that's why you should hold the Lulav, the Hadassah, and the Rabbis in the right hand, and the Esrog in the left hand. So the Beis Yosef quotes, Magen Avraham quotes, the Beis Yosef quotes one of the Rishonim who thinks that that's the Kuvah. You have to hold the Dalam Minim Dafke in two hands. If you hold in one hand, you're not Yotze. The problem usually comes up when you're saying hello. So you only have, normal people only have two hands. So you're going to have Lulav in one hand, the Hadas and the Esrog in the other hand, and who's going to hold on to the Siddur? Who's going to hold on to the Siddur? So usually you hold everything in the right hand and the Siddur in the left hand. So that's the Chumrah. But the Magen Avraham quotes one of the Rishonim. One of the Rishonim says you're not Yotze b'dieved, but you're doing Nanuim. But the Nanuim is a Hidur within the Mitzvah of Lulav. If you say not Yotze Lulav, if you don't hold in two different hands, so what kind of a Hidur did you accomplish here? Or the same thing when you walk around with Hoshainas. So usually you have to know, most people don't know the Hoshainas by heart. So you usually hold the Hadassim, usually you hold the Lulav and the Esrog in the same hand, and you hold the Siddur in the left hand. So that's more correct is to figure it out differently. To hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, and to hold the siddur in such a way that there won't be a chatzitza. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says that we're machmel lechatzila for sure, the situation that you don't have a chatzitza. Even those people who wear tefillin and chalamoid, Pesach and a chalamoid sukkahs, but they should take off the tefillin before they bench esrog, because the ritzuas will be a chatzitza. The women who wear rings, so they should, men who wear rings, but whoever wears rings, should take off the rings before they bench esrog, because when machmal lechatchila that there's an issue of chatzitza. Is it shada b'diyeved? Are you really not yotze, or maybe you are yotze? That's b'diyeved a discussion. But lechatchila for sure, there are opinions that that chatzitza poses a problem. Or if a person doesn't have enough time to take off all the tefillin, so at least has to take off the ritzua that's on his fingers, and he should be able to bench esrog without any chatzitzas. So it is a problem when you go nanuim, when you're reciting Hallel and you don't have three hands, you're going Hoshainas, you don't have three hands, so you have to try to figure out how you're going to hold the lulav in one hand, the esrog in the other hand, and the siddur somewhere else. And then Rabbi Gerelik Zichron Lebracha told us when he was lucky, he learned by the Brisker Rav. They used to have an arrangement that they would send a few boys from all the different yeshivas, three boys from one yeshiva, two, three boys from another yeshiva, and they would have about 10 boys learning by Adelva L'Saladechik and Bris. The whole city only had one set of Dalamim. And when they went around Hoshainas, so the Briskerov had the Chazan hold the Lulav in the right hand, the Esrog in the left hand, and they had someone walk with a Siddur backwards. He was walking in front of the Chazan backwards, so the Chazan wouldn't have to hold the Siddur. And no one else had a lulav and an esrog, so there was no problem. Today, it's a blessing. Everybody has their own lulav and esrog, so you got a problem. You can't have every person who's going to have somebody walking in front of him holding a siddur. So you have to have a tiny little siddur to hold them between your fingers in a way that there won't be any chatzitza.
A person's hand between the hands won't be chatzitza
because it's a tefillah? His hand is not a chatzitza.
So you curl the fingers on one side, the other side.
Yeah, that's in a tilas lulav. Yeah, so if he has five fingers on every hand, so you can always hold a tiny little siddur in between some of the fingers.
There can't be an unusual din that is based on a dream.
Yeah, there's a whole sefer called Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim. The Rabbi Natam had a Talmud whose name is also Rabbi Yankiv, Rabbi Natam. And he had dreams. He would ask the angels in his dream. He asked them shilas. Usually gave non-committal answers. The angels didn't want to get involved. But once in a while, they took a stand on something. So it's printed. The sefer is printed in many different editions. So in the introduction to Rav Ruchem Margolius' edition of the Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim, he has a long discussion about the validity have halachas that are established based on dreams. We have a few dinim in Shulchan Aruch that are based on the dreams of the Maharam Rutenberg. He's already more down to earth. He's not from the big Mekubalim. So we usually do follow his dreams. Rutenberg had a dream. Why he's learning in a Beis Medrash that doesn't have a mezuzah? Because Medina de Gemara, the pashto says you don't have to put a mezuzah, not on a Beis HaKnesses, not on a Beis HaMedrash. So he had a recurrent dream that they're complaining to him. Why did you learn in a Beis Medrash without a mezuzah? So he put up a mezuzah. Then the next night he had a dream. Shkoyach, good for you. That's the way it's supposed to be. So that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that even though we don't put the mezuzah on a Beis HaKnesses, we do put a mezuzah on a Beis HaMedrash because of the dream of the Maharam Rutenberg. Then he quoted another dream that he has. Chayshemishpat, today the Shach is not happy. Why did he quote the dream? He should say, Divya Chalom is Lamala Olamarit. Over here in Hilchus Mezuzah, the Shach doesn't complain. There he complains. Chayshemishpat, the din is that if a person is an employee and the boss owes him money, so you cannot pay with Shavu Kesef. Let's say one of the people who works for the yeshiva. So the yeshiva tells him, okay, take a bunch of chairs, tables, take a couple of standards, we have leftover svarim, and we owe you $5,000. So take $5,000 worth of merchandise. So the din is, he can tell Mr. Joel, you sell all the things and you get me the $5,000. I'm not mechuyev to take shavu kesef. Special din only by tchiras poilim. And all other chiyuvim amen, if you don't have kesef, you pay shavu kesef, the din ki kesef. And tchiras poilim is an exception to the rule. So the Maharam Rutenberg had a dream that the reason why it's different by Schiris Perlim is because the Pasuk uses a Loshen, Elof Hu Noseyas Nafsho. He works hard for his parnasa and he needs the money in order that it should be easy for him to buy food for himself and for his family. So what if the fellow works in the cafeteria? And they tell him, take whatever you want. Shleishik Melechik Parva, take as much as you want, up until we owe you $5,000. So take $5,000 worth of food. So the Maharam Rutenberg had a dream that that's okay. Because you're giving him food. The whole reason why you can't give Shavu Kesef is because you have to make it easy for him to buy food. So he's giving him food. But this is the Chabad good. So there the Shach is not happy. There the Shach all of a sudden picks on the dream. Why do you follow the dreams of the Maharam Rutenberg? And Hilchus Mezuzah, he doesn't pick on the dreams. That then he leaves. That's a big issue. When do you rely on dreams in Halacha and when not? So why should we be worried about the dreams? The Gemara says in the first parak in Pesachim on Avav that Kol Amitzus Kula Mevarach Aleim Moivav Asiyosam. You should always recite the Birchas Amitzah immediately before we're about to do the mitzvah. Oivav Asiyosam doesn't say Kaidem. Oivav means immediately before, to the exclusion of Oivav the Oivav. That's how the Rishonim understand. Oivav means immediately before. Then the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule, where the bracha is not recited over al-Sheshem. So one exception to the rule is the ger, who's tovel in the mikveh. Before he's about to be tovel in the mikveh, he's not Jewish yet. So he can't say, Asher kedushana b'mitzvah yisrael b'tzivano. He's not yet Jewish. He tovel v'yola, after he comes out of the mikveh, now he is Jewish, and now he can recite the bracha, Asher kedushana b'mitzvah yisrael b'tzivano ala tzivah. Then the Gemara says, the other exception to the rule, where the birchas ha-mitzvah is recited la'achar asiyasam, is dalad meaning, shaking the lulav. Why is that an exception to the rule? So the Gemara says, well, how are you going to do it? What are you going to say the bracha before you pick it up? So the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but the Rishonim spell it out. That's over the over. That's too far in advance. And then you already picked it up, so you already ate it. And Agbe Nafit, you ate it already. So the Gemara says, you have no choice. By Dal and Ninim, obviously the bracha is always recited La'achar Asiyasim. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Balei HaTosfos outsmarted the Gemara. The Balei HaTosfos came up with a chokhmah. How to hold on to the mitzvah, and it won't be over the over, you're holding on to all the dalaminim, and still, you're not yet yotze. How is that? So Taisha says, hold it with the pitam down, I have in mind not to be yotze, have kavanah shalolah, it says, and yotze, how to recite the bracha in advance of fulfilling the mitzvah, but it shouldn't be so far in advance that it shouldn't be considered over the over. The Baal Hamor there, I'm talking, complains about the Baal Yatez. What are they outsmart the Gemara? The Heilige Gemara states that you say the bracha l'achar asiyasam. So leave it the way it says in the Gemara. What do we have to be more firm than the Tanoim? The Tanoim say it like that it's good l'achar asiyasam. But the common practice is that we try, in this case, to outsmart the Gemara. So the common practice is that people hold the lulav in the right hand, they hold the esrog upside down. Some svardim have the minig that they'll hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, and then after they'll say the bracha, then after saying the bracha, then they switch hands. This is based on the Rabbeinu Hananel's commentary on the Gemara in Sukkah, that the Gemara says that you only yotze the mitzvah if you hold the dalaminim properly. But if hafocham, if you have it in the wrong order, then you're not yotze. What does it mean hafocham? The Rashi interprets, Rashi trains hafocham if you're holding upside down. If you hold the esrog with the tefillin down, you hold the lulav upside down, you're not yotze because you need kederach to the ilosim. We learn up in the pasuk by the kashi hamishkan atzi shita moimdim. So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Dalamina quotes the Pirush Rabbeinu Hananel that we have printed on the side of the Gemara, that b'she hafocham, he doesn't learn like Rashi. Hafocham means upside down, not kederach dilos. Then the Hananel learns hafocham means he's supposed to hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. The reason for that is that whenever you fulfill a mitzvah, you should try to fulfill the mitzvah with your right hand. If a person is a righty, let's say a person wants to say a bracha on a piece of bread, so you should say the bracha holding the bread, or holding an apple, whatever, or holding a piece of chicken. You have a fork or a piece of chicken in your hand, so you should hold it in your right hand. If you're righty, if you're lefty, hold it in the left hand. If you're righty, so the Gemara says in brachas, when you say Kiddush Abdolus, you should always hold the becher in your right hand if you're a righty. So, but by Dalad Minim, you have to hold in two different hands. So the Gemara says, well, since the lulav has three quarters, the lulav has the lulav hadashim and aravos, and there's only one quarter, 25%, so you should hold the lulavs in the right hand. But we usually assume, what if I'll hold the chicken and I'll hold the apple in the left hand, I'll say bar pihoi, so I'll say shahakal, I'll hold a cup of soda in the left hand. So you're not yotzei b'dyaved. The whole thing is only lachatchila, right hand, left hand, the whole thing is only lachatchila. So this Rabbeinu Hananel holds not so. Rabbeinu Hananel is a mechudishtik, and the Magen Avraham says, a big chiddush. Rabbeinu Hananel holds that if you hold the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand, you're not yotzei b'dyaved. A big chiddush. That's many svardim have such a practice to outsmart the Gemara, like Tosfos, to say the bracha on the dalaminim over lasiyas, when it shouldn't be over the over. So to hold the lulav, to hold all the dalaminim in the hand. So hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, say the bracha, and then we'll switch hands. So that's considered oiva lasiyos.
So Rabbeinu Hananel would agree that the bracha is an
I would assume, yeah, I would assume so for sure. So why should it be Likuv over here? That's what the Magen Avraham doesn't understand. In Shulchan Aruch there are two opinions. What if a person is a lefty? Should he hold, the Gemara gave a whole reason why you hold the lulav in the right hand, because it's 75% of the mitzvah, and the esrog is only 25%. So should hold the esrog, the lulav in the right hand, and the esrog in the left hand. So the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. What if a person is a lefty? So usually a person is a lefty, you have everything faket. So there are two opinions over here. So the Magen Avraham recommends that the person should shake lulav and esrog twice, because according to the Magen Avraham, he holds it in the wrong hand, you're not yotzei. And there are two opinions, which hand is a lefty supposed to hold a little bit? According to Rabbeinu Hananel, it's initially kuva. So the pashtus is that a person is a lefty, should hold the lulav in the left hand, and esrog in the right hand. Then the Magen Avraham recommends that after he finishes the tefillas lulav, he should switch hands and then shake again.
What is the source for halacha doing kedima on the right side and the left side?
The pashtus is in the Beis Hamikdash, Kohanim have to do avoda b'yamin. That's likuva. If the kohen does avoda b'smol, that's possible. If the kohen is a lefty, he's possible to do avoda. That's a mishnah. The kohen is a lefty, he's possible to do avoda. So Rashi has two pshat. One pshat Rashi is a palmum. We usually don't assume like that. There's a mishnah in Ksuvis that if you marry a girl and it turns out that she has been with all, as long as you were dating her, she hid all of the mumen, and after you get married, you discover she has a major mumen. So then it's kiddusha tois. When you get divorced, if you're so upset you want to get divorced, you have to pay niksuba. As far that the get is only luchumen, maybe you don't even need a get. It's kiddusha tois, but for sure you don't have to take suba. So the Mishnah gives you the clout. Any mum that passes kahanim is considered a mum over here. According to Rashi, the girl she didn't tell me she's a lefty. It's a kiddusha tois. I tell her, how can it be? That's impossible. So Rashi, the other pshat in Rashi, the Mishnah Mcharis, it lists off all the mumin, who's not, which kind am I not allowed to do avodah. The one pshat in Rashi is that a lefty is a balmum. Pashat pshat is not a balmum, it's just the avodah has to be done with the right hand, and the right hand means this side of the body, and it has to be the stronger arm. So if his left arm is stronger than the right arm, so he doesn't have a yamin. not a balmud, but for purposes of hakrovas hakarbanis, that kind doesn't have a yamin. So that's a din deraisa that we give chashivas to the right hand. We give chashivas to the right half of the azora also. That's a kachikach chitasa matzofen. Tofen is the right hand section of the azora. You look straight ahead is myros. So to the right hand of the azora is tofen. And then the Gemara says, even when you do mitzvahs, even when you say a bracha, we give adifus to the right hand, like you give adifus when you get to hakrovas hakarbanis. Then the Gemara even says, when you take a shower, you should shampoo the right side of your head before you shampoo the left side of your head, because we treat showering as if that's also a mitzvah. Everything is avodas Hashem. Everything, chol derechecha dehayu. So even when you do milah d'alma, you should put on the right shoe first. You should put in your right leg first, if you won't get all confused. Just put in the right arm first, in the jacket, in the sweater, because we treat everything in our lives as if we're doing mitzvahs. You should be doing mitzvahs all day long. What exactly does it mean, nanua? That's lachatchila deraisa, you have to do nanuim. So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch have a major machlokes. What is it supposed to represent, and how are we supposed to do the nanuim? So Tosfos in the first daf in Lulav HaGozel quotes from the Yerushalmi, Oz Yiranu Kolatze Yor, that it represents the fact as if the trees are dancing. When Lossi Lovoy, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be in his gala, Hashem will be Melech al Kol Haaretz, so even the trees will be dancing. So the Dalaminim all grow on trees. So it's supposed to represent dancing. If you hold like that, so then Nanuim is really to shake. And other Rishonim and other Achronim say no, it represents the way all of, not only all of mankind, all of nature will be bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Nanuim is not so much shaking like that, but rather waving. So there are two opinions. How are you supposed to do the Nanuim? Rav Soloveitchik didn't shake. He just used to wave the Dalai Minim in all the different directions. And he said in Europe, he remembered seeing the Gedolim, that's all they did. They didn't do Nanuim shake. The Taz writes that the way we usually do, we do both. We wave in a direction and we shake a little bit, and we wave it back and we shake it. So we do both the shaking and the waving, representing the both opinions. So it's supposed to, the both opinions are supposed to represent the idea that the day will come that not only all of mankind will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech, but even all of nature will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So either the trees will be dancing, or the trees will be bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, the Hadassim are on the right side and the Arabs on the left side, even if the fellow is a lefty. That doesn't change. The only shabbat is which hand does he hold the Hadad, the Lulav. But that's a affair, that doesn't change. Yeah. The mitzvah of Dalad Minim is only by Yom Velo Balaylo. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, L'kachta L'chem Bayom Velo Balaylo. When does the Yom begin? So the Mishnah says that L'chatchila, you shouldn't shake the Lulav until after Hanei Tzachama, until after sunrise. Some people have to daven in the early minyan. They don't have the luxury of dabbing in at the late minyan, the 8 o'clock minyan, the 8:30 minyan, after some people have to work for a living. So, to bid the Yevid, look, Shasat Chakad Yevid on it. Bid the Yevid if you shook the lulav after Alois HaShachar. Alois HaShachar is quite a while before Hanetz HaChama, an hour before, so you would be Yotze bid the Yevid. But L'chatchila, if one could avoid it, more correct is, the Mishnah says that L'chatchila, you shouldn't bench Esrog before before Hanei Tzachama. There was 100 years ago, Shmuel Salant was getting old, and he wanted to prepare an assistant rabbi in Yerushalayim to take over after he has to retire. So they were looking all over Europe to determine whom they should get. So they got one of the great rabbanim there. They got the Aderis. He's known as the Aderis. Eliyahu David Rabinovich Ta'omin. He was the father-in-law of Rav Kook, the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. The Aderis' daughter passed away, then Rav Kook had to remarry, so he married the girl's cousin. So the Aderis was his uncle by marriage. First he was his father-in-law, and then he married his niece, so then there was his, he was his uncle by marriage. So the Aderis was a Rav in Panavision, a Mir, a great, they considered him a big Meir HaRoah. And he came to Yerushalayim to serve as the assistant rabbi to take over after Reb Shmuel Salantzin had to retire. As it turns out, he died a few years after he came, 4 years, I think, after he came. Early around 1902, he came, 1906, he died, something like that. He was only there for 4 years. And then Reb Shmuel Salantzin went on till the age of 100 or something. He remained the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, the Eid HaKavedish, for a long time. So the Aderis has a lot of original chidushim that he has in his Sforim, and that the Stechemet quotes from him, and Ratzit Esafain quotes, and others quotes, that this is one of his chidushim. He said that Bizman Hazeh, that every shul has a clock, sometimes the clocks don't work. I was wondering why they started to daven Mincha before this month. But then I realized by Nilev, it's still not the same. I don't understand what the rush was. Okay. So the Aderis writes, every shul has a clock, and every other person in the shul has a watch. So everybody knows the whole reason he's working on the assumption, this l'chatchila in the Mishnah, that l'chatchila shouldn't bench esrog before Hanetz Chama, he assumes that it's only l'chatchila med rabbanon. It's not l'chatchila med atara. Others disagree. In the Sefer Haredim, has a commentary. Sefer Haredim lived in the 1500s. He was a late Rishon, early Achron. So he, in his commentary on Yerushalmi, the beginning of Brachas, he seems to hold that that's a din deraisa, l'chatchila deraisa. That you shouldn't fulfill a mitzvah, shizmana bayom, tkiyah shofar, or halel, or lulav, or bris milah, you shouldn't do before Hanetz HaChama. So the Aderis is working on the assumption that it's only l'chatchila derabbanon, and the reason for the din derabbanon is because you may make a mistake. If you allow a person the Ben Shesra gift Alois HaShachar, he may make a mistake. He'll think that it's after Alois HaShachar and it's really before. So they made it there, the Rabban. But there is time that this man is that. It's so common that people have watches and the people have, you have a clock in the shul. And everybody knows when the Hanetz HaChama is approximately, give or take 5 minutes, you read in the newspapers. They print every day when sun rises. So, and they're gonna, and you can figure out when Alois HaShachar is. So what's so difficult? Well, you're going to make a mistake. So there's no need to make a gzera derabbanan mizman hazeh. So he holds that it's muta l'chatchila. All the mitzvahs that l'chatchila you should wait till after Hanetz HaChama, all of those mitzvahs don't apply. Most of his contemporaries didn't accept that chiddush. The Stechemet quotes in the Pesach Frank and others, they all quote this chiddush from the Aderis. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, that's when they met him, and they all disagree with him. You have to try to understand. Isn't that the rule that a dovish in the minyan tzach minyan achal hatira? Whenever the chachamim make a gzera derabbanan for a specific reason, even if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, the gzera derabbanan still applies. So why did the Aderis think that this man is there? The reason doesn't apply. The whole gzera falls apart by itself. So you have to give a little thought to that. No, tefillin, the Rishonim said they couldn't make exer about tefillin because they want you to, it's preferable to say Kriya Shema Kivasikin. They want you to say Kriya Shema before Hanetz and Shema Nesra right after Hanetz, and they want you to have tefillin on before you say Kriya Shema. So if they're going to make exer d'rabban by tefillin, so you won't be able to daven vasikin. So by tefillin they never make, and they want you to wear a talis also. So by talis and tefillin they never make exer. But by, let's say a woman goes to work and she has to make the dikas shivanikim, so that says in the Mishnah. But chatchila, the woman should make the dikas before Hanetz HaChama. Some women go to work, some women go to school, whatever. So that's a Mishnah like that. Chatchila, that's also one of the dinas says, manam bayom should not be done chatchila before Hanetz HaChama. So if one can avoid it, certainly recommend it. If you have a choice of davening at the early minyan before Hanetz or a later minyan, so on Sukkot, one should avoid benching Esrog before Hanetz HaChama. The opinion of the Aderis was not accepted. The Mishnah has that there's a din midrabbanan that you're not, the Ferish Mishnah in Sukkot, you're not allowed to eat before you bench Esrog. That's the original Mishnah. And then based on that Mishnah, we apply it also to Tkiyah Shofar. You're not supposed to eat before you do Tkiyah Shofar, you're not supposed to eat before you do any other mitzvah. The father of the baby is performing a bris on the baby today. He's going to do pigyon haben on his baby, so it says he shouldn't eat until he does the mitzvah. If a what? A person? I mean, a person has a choice. Either he benches Esrog before Hanetz HaChama, or he's going to bench later, he's going to go to work all day. No, just like you're not allowed to eat before you bench has 60, you're not allowed to be Isaac and work either. You got no choice there. The Shas al Taki the Evidam. So you have to bench Esrik before an Eitzachama. You got no choice. Just want to run through briefly some of the detailed dinim regarding the Dalad Minim. Some of the dinim apply to all of the Dalad Minim, that Gozel is no good. If you steal Dalad Minim, you're not Yetzer. You're not allowed to steal. Okay. So Mitzvah Boba there. So if you steal Dalad Minim, you're not Yetzer. Okay. The din is that Murkav is possible by all the Dalad Minim. In recent years, we make a whole fuss about the Esrayim and the Murkav. But in the Shulchanach, the commentaries made a big fuss about the Hadassim that were Murkav. And about the Lulavim that were Murkav. That's what they were worried about. You have to be worried about all the Dalad Minim. If it's Murkav, is possible. It's not the correct min. On the first day of Sukkot in each Shalachem, and the second day in Chutzlars, we usually assume the Yontem Sheni Shel Golias, Mishleika D'Yoyma, we treat it as if it were the first day. We don't do Malacha on the second day, and we don't wear Tefillin. We don't wear Tefillin on the second day. Mishleika D'Yoyma of the first day. That's a big Kiddush that we don't wear Sapsayf. As a whole Tshuva, he finds it very, very difficult to understand why you don't wear Tefillin on the second day Yontem, but that's it. The Chacham told us we should observe Yom Tov Sheni even to the extent of not wearing tefillin. So the Shaila is, on the second day of Sukkot, do you need Shalachem on the Dalad Minim? Maybe the Sefer D'Yoma was only introduced b'negeya to Malacha, b'negeya to not wearing tefillin, but not b'negeya to Lulav. Why? Why should I think? The Ritva has two opinions. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikurei Yankif. But Yankee Dettinger wrote, the first sefer that he wrote was called Bikuri Yankee. That's his Reshis Bikurim. Very good sefer on Hilchas, on Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Suk and Hilchas Dalad Minim. Mishneh Berurah quotes him on every page. It's a very strong sefer. And then he wrote the Orach Laner on Masechus Sukkah, another Masechus as well. He wrote the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion also. So on the Bikuri Yankee, he points out that people make a mistake. They think whenever the first day Sukkah is on Shabbat, so you don't bench Esrik, so you only have starting from the second day. The second day you don't need Shalachem. So he says it's not correct. It says the Farish in the Mechaber that we pass in our Lacha like that opinion in the Ritva. The Ritva has two opinions. He passed like that opinion in the Ritva that there is a din of Sefer D'Yoma on the second day Sukkot for Dalad Minim as well. You do need Shalachem and you do need and Chasa does pass on the second day. Why should there be an opinion that you don't need Shalachem? So the I think it's usually explained as follows, that the institution of observance of Yontem Sheni Shel Golias came in the days of Abai Barov. Until the days of Abai Barov lived in Bozel, but the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael was still Mekadosh Al Pi Hariyah. Until the days, the Gemara says in Maseches Vashana like that, and the Rambam quotes it, during the lifetime of Abai Barov, their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael stopped doing Kiddush Al Pi Hariyah, and there was Hillel Sheni, and he was the one, he was a great-grandson of Rav Yudah HaNasi, the one who edited the Mishnais. He's the one who instituted the Kfir Taluach Al-Pi HaCheshbon. The printed calendar that we have, you can tell years in advance when Yom Tov is going to be. So at that time, during the lifetime of Abai V'Rabba, the Shaila was posed, whether we still have to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. There's no more sake of the Yom. If you know 100 years in advance when every Yom Tov is going to fall out. So Shalcha Mitam, the Gemara says in the beginning of Beit, so they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Yizor b'minig abasechem yedechem, they should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So our observance of Yom Tov Sheni today, there were different stages in the observance of Yom Tov Sheni. So our observance today was instituted during the lifetime of Abai V'Rovi with the Shalcha Mitam, with the letter that was sent from the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael to B'nai Chutzlords, they should still observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. At the time that was instituted, everybody was shaking lulav all 7 days anyway. Because of Bechem and Zakai, right after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, he made 9 takonis. Some of them were Zeichel HaMikdash. That was one of the takonis that was instituted a few centuries earlier, after the destruction of the Bais Sheni. So the instituted Shehei Lulav Nitol Kol Shiva Zeichel HaMikdash. So anyway, shaking a lulav. So does it make sense that in the days of Abai V'Rovi, when they instituted Mitam Sheker de Yoyma, you shouldn't do Malacha the second day Sukkot, you should daven Yontav Dikadaven, and you shouldn't put on tefillin, and then they tell you you should shake a lulav. I'm shaking a lulav anyway for the next 6 days. Bein kovakam, I'm going to shake a lulav. So the Shaiba is, you see, observing Yisam Malacha, if not for the Takana Shalcha Mitam, Yisar B'minim Av Seif Medechem, it would be Mutta B'malacha, it would have been Chalamayit. It wouldn't be Yantiv. We wouldn't daven Yantiv Digi Shmanes. We would have daven Chalamayit Shmanes. We would have learned Kriyas HaTorah like Chalamayit. The Meda Takana, you should observe Yisam Malacha like Yantiv, and you should daven Shman Esrei, you should daven Tefillah like Yontif, and you shouldn't put on Tefillah like Yontif. Not like a Chalamay that many people do put on Tefillah. But what about Netilas Lulav? Netilas Lulav, we're going to shake the Lulav anyway for all the 6 days. So does it make sense to say that they said not only should you shake Lulav the Torah's Kol Shiva, Takanas Abech Mazake, you should shake Lulav the Torah's Sveka Deyayma. Izar Menigam Sveka Nedechem, and therefore you need Shalachem. Or should I say, no, they call it, I'm going to shake a lulav. So there's no need to make a takana, yantasheni, vis-a-vis lulav. So those are the two opinions in the Ritva. The one opinion in the Ritva was that they didn't feel it necessary to institute yantasheni in the days of Abai Varava. They didn't have to institute yantasheni with respect to Netilas lulav. They call it, you're going to be shaking a lulav for the next 6 days. What do you have to add on? Nope, not only should you shake the lulav, but Torah's Kol Shiva, you should shake the Torah's Sveka D'Yayim of yesterday. And we don't pass like that. We pass them that you do need Shalachem on the second day, and Chassid does pass them. That's the accepted opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. So we have the dinim of all the Dalminim that apply to all of them. And we spoke about how holding it, Hadassim have to be higher than Naravis, and the edge Shedra of the lulav should be higher. Fine, all the different dinim. And then with respect to the lulav, respect some specific dinim with respect to the lulav. So the Gemara has a suffix in Sukkah, what's dinim nechlaka ha-tiyomis ma'u? What does it mean tiyomis? So the Shulchan Aruch explains, Pashup Shat in the Gemara, that all of the leaves of the lulav are double. They're all folded in half. So what if roiv of the leaves of the lulav, how many leaves does the lulav have to have? Sometimes you get a very fat lulav, sometimes you get a very skinny lulav. A fat lulav, nice and fat, is either mitzvah, but you can get tired holding the lulav portion if you have to hold the lulav during Hallel. The Saman Eitz HaTeva, even though it looks nicer than the skinny ones, but you can get exhausted holding it for too long a period of time. But some of the skinny lulavs are too skinny, so how many leaves do you have to have? So some of the Rishonim give you a shiur, that what's lulav de gematria, lamed, lamed is 68. You have to have a minimum of 68 leaves in the lulav. Means 68, those are double leaves, that's really 34 single leaves. You have to have a little on the right side, a little on the left side. If everything is on one side, or everything is on the other side, then it's also possible. You have to have approximately between 20 and 35 on one side, between 20 and 35 on the other side. Should add up altogether to 68 leaves. Okay. There's somehow that it, some Rishonim say that it's possible to be evident. If you don't have lulav de gematria, the Sheikh Amanik writes like that. You have to have a minimum of 68. So don't buy too skinny lulav. So nechlek atiyomis, the Gemara has a discussion, and we paskin that it's possible. What do you mean nechlek atiyomis? The Pashup Shat, the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes it is, if roiv of the leaves, however many leaves you happen to have, if the 51% of the leaves are all split, rubam, are split down the middle, so then the whole lulav is no good. Taisus quotes another pshat that the middle leaf, the one that goes all the way to the top, and sometimes you have two that are in the middle, so nechlak tiyamis means if the one in the middle or the two in the middle are nechlak, rubai. So that'll also pass. So Taisus in the end of Bava Kama discusses this sugi and sukkah. So Taisus says, what do you mean? The middle leaf is a little bit split on top as possible. You won't find one out of 1,000 that'll be crushing. Taisus writes a lesson. He won't buy echad min yalef. That'll be kosher. They're all split in the middle. So we're machmer for that. And you should try to get a lulav that the middle is not split. How split is split? So the Taz says based on the Gemara Chulin that has nothing to do with here. The Gemara Taz makes a tushta. So the first paragraph in Chulin, so he says if it's split less than a tefach, it's not a problem. Tefach is quite a bit. Tefach. 3.6 inches, less than 3.6 is not a problem. Others disagree with the Taz. The Chayodam disagrees with the Taz, and he thinks that the tushta that the Taz made to the Gemara Chulin is not accurate. Even if it's split a mashuhu, you should also be machmer. So people try to be mahadah for that it shouldn't be split at all. The middle one shouldn't be split. Then there's another din in the Gemara. What happens if, even if you make on the middle one split, less than a tefach, you're not going to worry about it. But let's say the lulav is split in such a way that when you hold the lulav together, you can see that it's there's a V-shape on top. It's leaning in two different directions. That the Gemara says for sure is possible. That Kovit Kehemnik. Hemnik is some kind of an instrument that they had in the days of the Gemara to put a pen on. So the thing is like a V, so that for sure is possible. You have to make sure that you don't have a split where the crack is visible. You have to be careful that the lulav always, our practice is there are two different minhagim. It's not Miyakad, but yeah, but two different minhagim. Which way do you hold the lulav? Do you hold the lulav with the shedra facing you or the shedra away from you? So our practice is that we hold it with the shedra facing us. And the reason is given, I think, the quote from Avsadigran, that the pasuk says, when the Rebbe Shalom passed by Moshe Rabbeinu, Verisa Sacharai, upon I lay row, so the lulav represents the Tzadik HaTama Yifrach. The lulav represents the Rebbe Shalom. Because the lulav is kapas tamar. It grows on the lulav is the part of a date tree. The pasuk says Tzadik HaTama Yifrach, and the Medrash says that the Rebbe Shalom is the lulav. The lulav represents the Tzadik Rebbe Shalom. Since the pasuk says Verisa Sacharai, so that's what Avsadigran says, a similar double. And we hold the lulav, we hold the shedra facing us. So the fact that the lulav sometimes leans in, if you have a hunchback lulav, the Gemara said that is possible. But hunchback is only if the shedra is bent over, the shedra is on top and it's bent over like this. But if it's bent backwards against the shedra, so that's the way they normally grow. So that's kosher. It's not a mehudah, but that would be kosher. If the lulav is significantly leaning to the right or to the left, that'll also be possible. So lahatchidish, you get a lulav that doesn't, that the leaves are not leaning, not in any direction. It shouldn't be forward, backwards, sideways, either direction. You try to see to it that the leaves of the lulav should be standing straight. There was a big issue that Pasuk describes a lulav as a kapas tamar from a tama tree, from a date tree. So what if you have lulav and where no dates grow on the tree? The farmers can grow whatever you want. You tell them, I want, I show them a lulav and tell them, I want this lulav. So they can take that and they can grow lulav that won't have any dates. So that was a big machlekes, whether that's kosher or not. How do we know? We hope they're telling us the truth, that they tell us that the lulav, that this lulav came from a tree that did have dates growing on it. The Gemara says, the Feirish, that Esrig HaKovush is possible. If you have an esrig that was soaking in water for 24 hours, so that's possible. What if you have an esrig is at least food, a food item, like a lemon. What if you have a lulav that's kovush? Then you have to practice, and it's a midas chasidus, to take the lulav at Adas and Aravis and put it in a bucket of water to keep it fresh, so it won't dry out. If it's yobish, it's no good. So over Shabbos, a lot of times on Friday morning, when you finish shaking your lulav, so you put your lulav, Hadas and Rabbis, in a bucket of water, then you're not going to take it out of the bucket of water until Sunday morning. That's going to be more than 24 hours. But that doesn't say Beferish in the Gemara. The Gemara only says Kovish is possible by Esro. What about Kovish by lulav? So that's a discussion in Achreinim. We were just learning it the other day. It's in Pei Zayin. The Pesach Tshuva quotes this discussion. And the Stechemen has a long discussion on this, and he quotes that there's a Ramban who takes a stand explicitly, but there are two girsas in the Ramban. Which way the Ramban said? He said that it is good or it's no good. So it's a real issue. So a person should be careful not to have a lulav that's a kovush. Lulav, hadasim, and arav is that a kovush. Hadasim have to be mishuloshin. The Gemara says if it's not mishuloshin, it's called a hadas shaita. That's the question, what does that mean? It's an idiotic hadas? Or Rashi says, no, obi yisir eschem bashotim. Shota means a twig. So this, if it's not mishuloshin, so it's a hadas shaita, it's a twig. It's a branch, but it's not called a hadas. And the Rashbam, Yesh Lechlan, says, no, hadas shaita means that it's an idiotic hadas. Because there's a Gemara there that talks about a b'char shaita. Chor who doesn't, who's on a type of petish nine. So the Rashbam says, whenever you have something that doesn't, a hadas that doesn't qualify, or a chor that doesn't qualify to get petish nine, so he's called a shaita. So hadas is called a shaita. It's a stupid hadas and it's a stupid chor because it doesn't qualify. He doesn't take a shoita in the sense of a twig, like all the Yisrael Eschem Ashotim, Ani Ayasar Eschem Bakrabim, not in the sense of a shoita twig, but rather in the sense of a tipish. Anyway, all the shoita. So the simple pshat Mishaloshim, you have to have three leaves growing around. In the days of the Ramah, it wasn't easy to obtain. So the Ramah writes from the Trumas Adeshin, from the earlier Paschim, he writes a Kula, and the later Paschim are not happy with the Kula, that it's two and one. It's also Mishaloshim. The Paschim says you have to get Mishaloshim. Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to complain, I don't understand. He said, why don't we tell the people in Arizona what we want? Tell them what you want, so they'll grow it for you. The farmers know how to grow whatever you want. So now, more or less, they are able to get Mishaloshim. Do you need Mishaloshim Kulam? So Lechatchila, more correct is that the whole Hodah should be Mishaloshim from top to bottom. And then all the Poskim assume that we say Ruba Kukula. If Rav of the Hodah is Mishalosh, so it's also acceptable. But the Shaila is, let's say, like this. The Hodah, let's say, is very tall. The Hodos only has to be Yud Beis Agudlin tall. So what if Rav, let's say, 7 out of the 12 Agudlin is Mishulosh, but the Hodos is 15 as boys tall. So the 7 out of 15 is not Rav of the Hodos, it's Rav of the minimum shear. So do you say Ruba Kukula on the minimum shear? But many Poskim say yes, that's very questionable. Based on the Gemara and Yevamos, that's very questionable. Mitzvah Chalitza, whether you say Ruba Kukulai on the Shear, you really say Ruba Kukulai on a whole unit, not. So that's a problem. The Halachas Gedolos writes that the Hadasim should not be too big. If the Hadas is larger than the size of a thumbnail, he says that's called the Hadas Sheita. It's based on the Gemara Chulin in the middle of Elu Treifish. A lot of times they're gigantic hadassim, so lechatchila that's not proper.
So, by the bit of kavush,
does
that have to be put it in water, or even
like
people
would
wrap it in a
soap paper towel? No, that's not kavush. That's not kavush. Kavush has to be dafka in a liquid. If the liquid is not, if it doesn't pour easily, then it's not kavush. Let's say many communities in Europe, they didn't have an estrig available, so they would buy an estrig one year. They would preserve it by putting it in honey from year to year. So kavush and honey, the Darki Tshuva says, is not called kavush, because the honey doesn't pour easily. A Darki kavush in a lot of liquid. You have to have a lot of liquid. The hadasim are supposed to be like pie-shaped. The arovas are supposed to be lip-shaped. The arovas, sometimes they have arovas that are fat. The arovas are supposed to be thin and long. Hadasim are supposed to be fat and short. Not supposed to be the same shape. Rav Yankov Emden is quoted by the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetev as insisting that Anaf Eitz Avos is a description of the Hadasim. It's only called Anaf Eitz Avos if sometimes you have this problem. If the tip of the lower, you have Hadasim Mishaloshim, so you have three leaves here, if the tip of the lower leaves, the point of the three leaves, reaches beyond the bottom of the upper leaves. Sometimes there's a gap. The bottom leaves don't reach the bottom of the upper leaves. Is it that's not called avos? That's not face avos. It has to be thick. Then a lot of times you have the hadasim, the leaves are sticking out. The leaves are supposed to be hugging the stem. That's called avos. Anaf Eitz Avos means that it makes the stem thicker. So you should try lechatchila to make sure that you have Rosh Hashalzeh Magia Letzadi Korosh Shalzeh, and it should be hugging, lechatchila should be hugging the stick.
What about in the Arava, in the Lulav, you have to have the red thing that the leaf comes with, when it grows, you pop, it should stay, not removed.
Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it from the Bikur Yankit. Yeah, if the lula grows with the red thing on top, so you shouldn't take it off. So that's going to hold everything together. Yeah, it's a good idea to leave it there, not to take it off. The rub is lechatchila should be red stemmed. Very often they're not. Lechatchila should be red stemmed, And Lechatzchila should grow near a river, Havi Nachal. Some Rishonim hold it's at Rikuva. Some Rishonim hold some Achlekes Hatanaim in the Gemara of Olav Agazel. In Shulchan Aruch it's not quoted. The merchants would have made a racket out of it already. They could charge $10 on Arav instead of $5 on Arav. They say these Aravs grew next to a river. But someone should be mahabit to sell Dafka Aravs that grow near a river, Havi Nachal. According to some Rishonim, that's a Achlekes Hatanaim. And sometimes I'm told that it's no good. And then they should be long and thin. They're rubbers. And they shouldn't have jagged edges. The Gemara has that the edge should be smooth. Usually they say they sell Chassidish rubbers and the Snagdish rubbers. So the Chassidish rubbers are smooth at the edge. Snagdish rubbers, sometimes the kosher, if it's jagged edge, sometimes puzzle. So if all the jagged edges are in the same direction, then it's okay. If it sticks out like a saw, then it's no good. So it's always the misnagdish arabas are kosher, but the preferable is to have smooth arabas that don't have any jagged edge at all.
This is a kosher block. Do you assume that the Hadassah arabas would be in the original, what they were when you were together?
What?
When you put Hadassah into the kosher block, do you assume that the Hadassah would be in the original form, that they have the same, there's nothing in it, and then they fall off?
The Achrayim point out, you got to be careful. Sometimes by stuffing, you'll rip off all the leaves. So it'll be Nashua Rov Olive, it'll be Pasul. Yeah, you got to be careful. That is sometimes a problem. What are some of the requirements by Esrog? So the Gemara says an Esrog has to be yellow. If it's Yorik Kikarsi, if it's green, it's Pasul. The Gemara has two different interpretations why it's Pasul. One interpretation is that if it's green, it's a lack of hador. The other interpretation is that maybe there is no din. Maybe hador doesn't passel, even though it says pre-eight hador. Maybe hador doesn't passel even by esrog. Maybe the reason why green is not good is because it didn't have the gemar ha-pri. It's not called the pre-eight hador because it didn't ripen sufficiently. So that's the kula that many of the chayim have, the bach, and they all quote from the bach. What if you have an esrog that has a lot of green on it, but I see that it's in the process of turning yellow? The week after Sukkot, it'll turn yellow. But I know that it grew on the tree long enough to haraya that it is in the process of turning yellow. So the Bach says that since we passed from that, the reason why green is no good is because of Sakati Lav Gemar Pri. Here, which is already beginning to turn yellow, it's okay. The Mishkanus Yankiv has a whole tshuva where he disagrees. Mishkanus Yankiv learned in Valojin, Varachayim Valojina. He was a Rav in Karlin. He used to disagree with the Chassidim a lot. Quite a few of his tshuvas, they're Karlin and stolen a Hasidim. So he disagreed a lot with the Hasidim on a lot of issues, so this is one of them. So the Hasidim had a Kepeda Dafka to use a green esrog based on a passage in the Zohar. So he says they misunderstood the Zohar because the word Yorok in Talmudic, in Zohar language, means yellow. Yorok Kikarsi means green. So when he says in the Zohar you should be Mahada to get an esrog HaYorok, he's talking about a yellow esrog. So he doesn't agree with the Bach. He says even if it began to turn yellow, see, part of it is green and most of it is yellow, part of it is green. So he says it's possible because it's a lack of hadar. This is a famous tshuva. This tshuva by mistake was included in the collection of tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Mishkanus Yankiv was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So obviously he must have sent this tshuva to Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He left it on his desk. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner passed away. By mistake, they scooped up all the tshuvas that were in his study and they put them into a sefer after he died. So this tshuva is clearly not by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. The whole style is different. Chaim Volozhiner, whenever he quotes a Gemara, he always quotes the Daf and the Amud and the Tosfos Divan Maskal. The Mishkanus Yankiv says a Gemara in Erevin. The Tosfos in Yevamos. He doesn't tell you where. And he always quotes Zohar. Rav Chaim Volozhiner doesn't quote a Zohar in his tshuvas. And this is printed in the exact same tshuva, word for word. It's printed in a Mishkanus Yankiv's tshuva. He printed it. Obviously it's his tshuva. But by mistake, they attributed this also to Rav Chaim Volozhiner. But it's a very strong tshuva. It's more correct is that you shouldn't use a green esrog. It's not really right. The esrog is supposed to, the Gemara says, if it's kikadur, if it's round like a ball, it's no good. So the heder of the esrog is that it should be ugly looking. It should be taller than it is. It shouldn't be so round. Shouldn't be so rough. It should not look like a lemon. It should be taller and look awful. That's considered kemigdol, like a tower. Should be tall like a tower. It should have leetus. It shouldn't be smooth like a lemon. It should have leetus, bumpy, lumpy. And the ukit should be shakua. The ukit on the bottom should be a little indented, as opposed to usually on a lemon, the esrig, the ukit is not shakua. The Gemara has another principle that the esrig is called a pre-eitz hoder, so it only qualifies as a pre if it's yesh b'heter achila, it has to be kosher. If it's not muta la'achloi, then it's not acceptable for an esrog. We sometimes have that issue. Sometimes people hang up noye suke, they hang up esrogim. They go on Erev Yontif to the esrog merchant, and if he's already sold all the esrogim, he's going to sell for the day, so he can buy 10 leftover esrogim for $10. He's not going to get any more customers anyway, so you hang up these esrogim. But then it comes middle of Yontif, somebody needs an esrog, and these are kosher esrogim. But if I put it as noye suke, so then the pashtus is that it's hooked to the mitzvah, so it's also bachiling, and not allowed to eat it. So that's what some of the poskim say it's no problem, because mitzvah is lovely, honest mitzvah, so you're not getting hanor. Since you want to use the esrog for a mitzvah, so mitzvah is lovely, honest mitzvah, it's not a violation of hooked to the mitzvah. And others right now that it's an esrog shemba heter achila. Since you're not allowed to eat it, that's how the Nachman Sobeis writes. Nachman Sobeis was the author of the Shar HaMishpot. He was the Mechutna of the Nadi Behuda. I think he lived in Italy. So he has a tshuva in his sefer, Shal Shuvas Nachman Sobeis. He says that the esrog that was used as the Noi Mitzvah, a lot of Acharim had this discussion. Apparently it was a hot issue in that time. Correct. But here is no hanor the guf. I'm just going to use it to shake the lulav with it. I'm going to shake this esrog. So some say you're not in violation of hukta mitzvasa because you're not getting hanor. But others say it doesn't help I'm not getting hanor because the Gemara says it has to have a heter achila. If the esrog is also b'achila, so it's not a kosher esrog. It's not called the free. That's how the Rambam interprets in the Pirush HaMishnah. Since it's ein bo heter achila, by definition it's not called the free. So we assume on the second day Yontif you need Shalachem also. That's the Pesavish in the Mechaber. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikur Yangeva pointed out, you need Shalachem. But on the first day Yontif you need Shalachem in Atara. On the second day Yontif the whole need Shalachem is only with the Rabbanah. So therefore there's a whole issue that many Achreinim are concerned about on the first day of Sukkot. If you need Shalachem in Atara, so how do you purchase, how do you acquire ownership of Metaltalim? How do you acquire ownership in the Torah? How do you acquire ownership in the Rabbanah? So the Gemara has a machlokes of Yechon Rish Lakish. Most of the Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Yechonon. Rashi paskins like Rish Lakish. So most of the Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Yechonon that Dvar Torah Mois claims. Let's say I go to the merchant who's selling Dalminim. So when I buy the Dalminim in Torah, I'm only kind if I pay him kish. If I say I'll buy it on credit and I'll pay you after Yontif, and I only make a kinyan of Hagbo, I carry it with me, so it's only Shalim Midirabban. So that's the whole machlokes, whether Shalachem Midirabban, the kinyan Midirabban, is that moil for a need for Shalachem in Atara. On the first day Yontif, you need Shalachem in Atara. So if I didn't pay for the Lulav and the Esrig, is it Shalachem or not? But this year, that the first day Yontif is Shabbos, and no one's going to be shaking Lulav, so in the second day Yontif, you only need Shalachem and the Rabbanon, so that for sure is not a problem. That's called Mimanam Shachem and the Rabbanon. On the level of the Raisa, you don't have to shake a lulav in the second day. On the level of the Rabbanon, you have to shake a lulav. You need Shalachem, so on the level of the Rabbanon, it is Shalachem. Because the Hagbah is kind of. Usually the whole issue doesn't come up. What do you mean? The person picked up the dollar minimum and he didn't take it into his own apartment. Once he takes it into his apartment, so Chatzar is kind of. Chatzar is kind of man atar. Everybody agrees to that. Chatzar is kind of an atar. So it's in a rare case. A person bought the dalad minim, he didn't pay. The moicher esrogim takes my word for it. I'm going to pay him after Sukkot. And I picked it up. I made a hagbah and I left it in shul. I didn't take it home. Sometimes people do that. They leave in a shul. So they never made a kinyan chatzar. They didn't even put it in their automobiles. You put it in your cars, right there, kinyan chatzar. You didn't put it in your car. You're just walking with the lulav and esrog, and then you put it in the base medrash. You put it in the shul. Then the first day, that'll be a machlokes. On the second day, for the whole nid shalachem is only with the rabbanon, so that for sure, kinyan the rabbanon is certainly good. Oh. See, clock stopped, and I didn't look at my watch. Okay, it's more than enough. A good yard back, maximum pay.
Everybody, we've been asked to collect the machzorim and kufuka packets and bring them here to the bima to ask the table. And also guys go upstairs and collect their stuff.